Welcome to the See You Sunday podcast, your weekly dose of honest, real, and relatable conversations that feel like catching up with your closest friend. I'm your host, Jasmine, and here we explore all things personal growth, lifestyle, wellness, girl talk, and everything in between. Tune in every Sunday and walk away with a full soul, fresh motivation, and inspiration to carry you through your week. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode here on See You Sunday. And if you're new here, welcome. My name is Jasmine and welcome to this week's episode. So today's episode is giving very much girl talk, girl chat, catching up with the girls, whatever you want to call it. I asked you guys over on my Instagram stories if you had any questions for me that you would like me to answer, any juicy topics, share anything that you might be going through that you want my advice, my input on. We have questions about dealing with breakups, how to make new friends, how to be more confident, how to feel more feminine, all that good stuff. So I'm really excited to get into these questions and answer them for you. As always, anytime you guys submit a question to me, it will always be kept anonymous. Of course, these are just my opinions, my thoughts, my perspective. I'm not saying that my advice is the right advice or it's the only way to do things. This is just my opinion, my input, my perspective. You don't have to take my advice. So just a little disclaimer before we get into today's episode, but I think you guys already know that. But yeah, get comfy, get cozy. I sure am. I am in some comfy lingerie right now. Girl, it's Friday when I'm recording this, so I am already on unwinding mode right now. So that's kind of my vibe. We're very comfy, chill, cozy right now. And I love a good girl talk moment. So I really hope that you guys enjoy. If you do, I would so appreciate if you could rate, review the podcast, subscribe to my YouTube channel, send this episode to anyone who you think may also enjoy our conversations that we have over here. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. So as always, before we get into the bulk of the episode, I have to share my Sunday sip of the week, which is my high and low from the previous week. One of my lows from this week is I had a realization this week that I don't think is talked about enough when it comes to like being on the journey of working towards your dreams and goals. I think we often hear conversations about the fear of failing, which I think is a common feeling that many of us go through, myself included. What I don't hear being talked about enough, which is something that I was experiencing this week, is not the fear of failing, but the fear of succeeding. And what I mean by that is I have all these goals, I have all these plans, I have all these dreams, right, that I'm working towards every single day. And my fear is, what if all of this works out? What if I reach all of my goals? What if I make all of this happen? Am I going to be able to manage all of the responsibility, all of the good and bad that comes with reaching the goals that I have for myself? It was really just a moment of self-doubt that really creeped in, but definitely working through that. I think my high from this week, which is definitely something that I'm always grateful for, but it's just having a supportive, patient, thoughtful partner who makes me feel seen, supported, safe, and loved. Like anytime I need a little pep talk, a gentle reminder, or anything like that, he's always there to support me. He is just my biggest supporter, and I am so, so grateful for him. This week was a reminder of that. So that's definitely my high from this week. But yeah, so now I want to get into answering your questions. I'm just pulling them up. I am just going to answer them in no particular order. Like I said, I did not pre-plan my answers. I have nothing written down. I'm just going to speak from my heart, speak authentically, and hopefully some of it resonates. But somebody asked, starting to make new female friends, need ideas for first hangout suggestions. So I don't know if you mean like if you are starting to make new friends, or if you need advice on starting to make new friends and also like where to hang out and things like that. I'll kind of answer them as both. So my approach when it comes to making new friends is very, very intentional. I take friendships just as seriously as my romantic relationship. And by that, I mean, I don't want to just have friends or just be friends with anyone just to say that I have friends. I only want to be surrounded by people that, just like in my romantic relationship, make me feel seen, supported, loved, and appreciated. For starting to make new friends or like taking those steps to making new friends, my advice is to get clear on two things. Get clear on your values and your non-negotiables when it comes to friendships. What is it that you are looking for? Are you looking for more meaningful and deep friendships, or do you want just surface level, going out, having fun type of friends? Are you wanting a group of friends? Do you want one-on-one friendships? Like, what is it that you are looking for? Not only so you are clear on what it is that you want and you're not wasting your time, but you're also not wasting another person's time, because it makes no sense to try to form a friendship with someone if you know you're looking for something deep and meaningful and they, on the other hand, are more looking for like acquaintances, surface level type of friends where you go out every once in a while and it's nothing deeper than that. I am not wasting my time anymore when it comes to friendships, maintaining old friendships, or even creating new friendships. If we are not aligned in terms of what we're looking for, our values, our morals, I'm just gonna cut it and dead it and not waste my time. I don't wanna waste my time. I don't wanna waste your time. And the second thing that I think is just as important is asking yourself, am I that friend that I would want? So for example, if you are someone who wants to feel supported and celebrated and loved and appreciated by your friends, are you someone who shows support and love and appreciation to others? I'm a big believer in you cannot ask for something that you yourself cannot provide. And I think it's important to be, you know, self-aware and make sure that what you're asking for is also what you're giving. And then I think making friends is a lot like dating. You're going to go on a lot of first dates, and you know, not every first date is going to turn into something more. Just go in with like an open mind and no expectations, and just letting things unfold naturally, and you'll know if, you know, something feels right. Like, don't ever try to force anything either. So that's kind of been my approach with making friendships, just being very intuitive with every, you know, every time I hang out with someone, whether it's a new or old friend, and checking in with how do I feel after I talk to this person or after I hang out with this person. Those are great indicators of whether a friendship is aligned or not, in my opinion, is just checking in with how you feel after every interaction with them. One thing I'm doing differently is not waiting on other people to make the first move. I definitely have a bad habit of that and just kind of not taking that initiative. But you know, now whenever I feel the urge to like reach out to someone, ask someone to hang out, compliment someone, I will do that, whether it's on social media, a Pilates class, a coffee shop. Like if I see someone and I just like their vibe, or you know, something is telling me to start a conversation with them, then I will. Don't be afraid to take initiative. If there's someone that, you know, you've been following on social media for a while and you really like their vibe, send them a DM and just, you know, be chill about it. It doesn't have to be anything super deep or serious. Just reach out, say that you're, you know, interested in getting coffee or whatever and would love to like get to know each other more. Like I said, it's like dating. You have to like take those steps to get to know someone, you know? And as far as like where to meet, I think the question was, yeah, the second part to that question was need ideas for first hangout spots. So I would say think about where are the places that you like to go to and hang out at. What are the things that you naturally like to do? Are you an outdoorsy person? Do you love a good wine bar? Do you love going to happy hour at upscale restaurants, coffee shops? Like, what is your vibe? What is something that you naturally enjoy doing, where you naturally enjoy being? And I would say suggest a place like that. I would definitely try to find a common ground between the places that you like to hang out at, what you like to do, and what the other person likes as well. So, of course, if you guys are both into coffee shops, a coffee shop is a great place for a first hangout. Or if you guys are both like wellnessy people, look up a wellness event that's happening in your area, or booking a Pilates class and then, you know, hanging out and chatting afterwards. Like, ideally, if I'm hanging out with someone, they also enjoy those things as well. And that's why it's really important to get clear on what it is that you're looking for. What type of friend are you looking for? What type of friendship in general are you looking for? So those would be like my suggestions. The next question somebody asked, would love to hear your tips on how to be more feminine and girly. I love this question because this is definitely something that I myself have been working on. I love feeling in my feminine energy. I love feeling girly. I love all things girly. But I definitely think when it comes to being more in your feminine energy, feeling more girly, there's definitely two aspects to it, right? There's the physical, material side of things, how you dress, how you take care of yourself, your hair, your nails, things like that. But there's also a mental side to things, an energetic side that I think is not talked about enough. So I want to talk about that aspect before we get into like the more material things. I truly think what has helped me tap into my feminine energy more is calming my nervous system. And I know this sounds like a very like trendy phrase and topic right now, and maybe it is, but there's truth to it. Before I was really like in my feminine energy, I was very much a high sprung, always stressed out, trying to control everything type of person. I blame, you know, being the oldest daughter. I just always kind of carried that energy where I felt like I had to worry about everything all the time. I always had to have a plan. I always had to try to control things. I was very just like on edge and I couldn't really relax. I was very in my head. And when you're very in your head, it's hard to be present in your body. It's hard to be calm. All those things that I just described to me are the opposite of feminine. To me, feminine is calmness. It's groundedness. It's security, feeling secure, feeling safe in your body. You kind of just flow through life, and not in a passive way, but in a, like I said, everything is going to work out for me type of way. So that's what I think about like when it comes to being feminine. And so what's helped me tap into that is learning to let go of that need to be in control all the time, whether it's in control of myself, my life, or other people around me. Being so defensive as well is another thing that I really had to work on, and not being as reactive and quick to anger. And the way that I was able to work through that was by healing my nervous system. I think aside from that, what's also helped me tap into my feminine energy more is creating rituals and habits that help me feel grounded. So like journaling, going on long walks, you know, taking long showers, being very present when I'm doing my skincare, things like that really help me tap into my feminine energy. And as far as being more girly, like I said, there's two aspects. There's the internal side of things, but then there's the external. So again, what makes me feel girly may not be what makes you feel girly, and that's totally okay. But what makes me feel girly is always looking put together and presentable. So whether that's having my nails done all the time, my hair always being put together. And like right now, my hair is in a slick back bun. My hair is dirty right now, and that's okay. But just always looking presentable. That doesn't necessarily mean like having to wear heels every day and like do a full beat of makeup. Right now I have very natural makeup. I'm in a basic t-shirt, but I still feel put together. I feel my girliest, like I said, when my nails are done, when I'm taking care of my skin, my hair. Wearing things that I feel comfortable in, it also makes me feel very feminine and girly. Like I said, we all have our own different versions of what that looks like. I know what that looks like for me. I love, you know, a flowy dress, some linen pants, a button up, you know, things that I feel comfortable but still put together in. That always makes me feel good about myself. Perfume, smelling good, being clean, of course, always makes me feel good. Just taking care of myself as well always makes me feel my most feminine and girly. So when I am moving my body, I'm eating right, I'm drinking enough water, I'm doing my skincare routine, I'm journaling, I'm, you know, showing up for myself, I'm doing all the things that I know make me feel good. Also allowing time for like enrichment and joy and relaxing times. Also a really good playlist. Putting on a cute feminine outfit and a feel-good playlist and dancing is a great way to tap into your feminine energy. Okay, so the next question. Advice on how to deal with the changing body. This is definitely a difficult one. It's something that I struggle with myself. Something that I constantly try to tell myself or remind myself of is I do not want to be 70, 80 years old one day, look back at my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, and wish I would have appreciated my body or the way that I looked more. I really think it's a mindset thing. It's something that we have to practice every single day. I am a big supporter in doing things for yourself that will make you happier. So whether that's following a workout plan, changing your diet, getting surgery, investing in your body in whatever ways that might look like for you. I'm not saying that plastic surgery or enhancing yourself in any way is the best or should be the first solution. I do think it's important to work on yourself internally, learn to love and accept yourself in all ways, but I'm also an advocate for doing what you think is best for you and your body and your mental health. And if you know getting that procedure or investing in your appearance in some way is going to boost your confidence, then girl, I'm all for it. I've done it myself. It was something that I was wanted to do and I knew it would boost my confidence and it did. And I don't regret it at all. That doesn't negate the internal work that you still have to do. But yeah, I am all for doing whatever is going to make you happy. There is no judgment on my end. Okay, and then the second part to that question was how to establish boundaries, both digital and day-to-day, to feel good. As a boundary queen, I think what's important to remember about boundaries is that boundaries is not a tool to control other people and to tell other people what they can't or can do. Boundaries are for you and for you to follow. I say that because I have noticed that boundaries have been taken as something, you know, positive and helpful and turned into something negative and as a way to control other people. Just to give some examples. One boundary that I've set on the online space. And actually, this is not just online, but this is like in my real life as well. But I have decided that I am no longer the therapist friend for people. And what I mean by that, because I feel like I have to be very clear, I am not saying that my friends cannot come to me for advice, for support, or anything like that. I literally was helping one of my friends today with, you know, something that she's going through. But what I am saying when I say I am no longer the therapist friend for people is I am not available to be your emotional dumping ground. If you are only communicating with me or talking to me or reaching out to me only when you are trying to trauma dump, seek advice, support, whatever, but you never communicate with me to check in on me to see how I'm doing, you listen to whatever I might be going through and you just use me for your advantage, that is a hard boundary. What that boundary in action looks like is if I know I have a friend who only ever contacts me when they're trying to use me as their therapist, I have a choice. I have a few choices. I could not respond, not allow myself to be used as such. I can speak up, I can communicate. Really, however I decide to go about that is my choice. I will say I do think it's always best to communicate because sometimes people might not be aware to what it is that they're doing and how it might make you feel. So I always do try to give people the benefit of the doubt. However, I will say that sometimes communication, even if it's with the best intentions, may not always go well if the other person is not emotionally mature enough to have those types of conversations. And if they can't take accountability, there is a chance that that conversation can go left. When it comes to establishing boundaries, like I said, it's not about trying to control other people or tell other people what to do, what to say, how to act, how to think. It's about creating guidelines for yourself of what you're willing and not willing to accept, and knowing how you're going to respond when people do try to cross your boundaries. Okay, so another question in regards to friendships. Somebody asked advice on not being affected by friends who don't celebrate you or were once in your life. I kind of have a different opinion when it comes to this type of question. I know we often hear the advice when it comes to like dealing with other people with the whole like Mel Robbins of it all, the let them theory, right? If people don't like you, let them. If people are misunderstanding you, let them. And I get it. Like, I get what the advice is trying to say, but I don't always agree with that advice. Specifically when it comes to this type of situation, you're asking, how can I not be affected by friends who don't celebrate you? I think most people with the advice that's going around today would say, oh, just let them. Don't worry about them. Let them do them. If they don't want to support you, forget about them. Don't care about them. I'm sorry, but that doesn't work for me because I'm human. I have feelings. I'm sensitive. I value my friendships. And if I feel like my friends are not supporting me, that is going to hurt my feelings. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to pretend that I don't have feelings and that I should just let them and not care and not be affected by them. Of course, if it's like a stranger on the street who you don't know, it's much easier to let them, you know, you're never going to see them again. Who cares? But if it's your friends, if it's your family, if it's someone who means a lot to you, it's not as easy as just let them. To answer your question, how to not be affected, what I would say is it's okay if you are. It's absolutely okay if you are hurt by a friend not supporting you. The other thing that I would say, though, is sometimes people do things without realizing what it is that they're doing. Sometimes people are going through their own things that we have no idea about, and we have to give people grace. And other times people know exactly what they're doing and they don't care, and they are showing you exactly how they feel about you by their actions. And so what I would say is communicate. Maybe your friend or your friends are completely unaware that you are feeling this way. Maybe they have no idea that they haven't been showing up for you in the way that you need. People are not mind readers. People are not always going to know. So I would say, like, definitely communicate your feelings. If they're your real friends, you should be able to have uncomfortable conversations. You should be able to say exactly what's on your mind, exactly how you're feeling. And if they're not able to do that, then that kind of tells you what you need to know. And if you do have a conversation, they say they understand, but behavior doesn't change, that also tells you what you need to know. Again, it's okay to have feelings and to feel hurt and to be upset that your friends aren't celebrating you. What kind of friendship is it if you guys don't celebrate each other? To me, that's like the basic bare minimum. That is so crazy to me. Somebody else asked advice for dealing with a breakup, just got out of a long-term relationship. So first of all, sis, I'm so sorry that you're dealing with that and you're going through a breakup. I know breakups can be a difficult time in your life. I have not experienced a breakup in a very, 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 very long time. I have gone through a life breakup recently, which if you listen to my last episode, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. I shared how I pretty much broke up with a lot of aspects of my old life. And I would say that experience is very similar to a relationship breakup. So the first thing I would say, go through the motions. If you're feeling sad, hurt, angry, lost, confused, like you are just going to die without this person, I'm not here to give you any toxic positivity or you're better off without them. You're going to find someone better. I'm not here to tell you any of that, okay? Feel what you need to feel. Don't try to feel better. Don't try to feel better. And I know that might sound like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Hear me out. All the times I try, whenever I was going through something and I try to force myself to feel better and to kind of just get over it, because I didn't want to be sad and I didn't want to be just down and feeling sorry for myself, it would always backfire on me because eventually those emotions that I was suppressing and ignoring would come out later. So either you deal with your feelings now or you will deal with them later. My best advice is to always deal with the ugly right now. Eventually, you will get to a point where those feelings are not as strong. They're not as heavy. They're not as consuming. Healing does start in feeling your feelings, but eventually you get sick and tired of feeling sad and being angry and hating the world and wondering all the things. You'll get to a point where you're like, okay, felt what I needed to feel. I cried my eyes out, trauma dumped to my therapist. I am ready to take the next steps, whatever that looks like. For me, that usually is getting back into my routines. Usually when I'm sad and just going through it, the first thing to go out the window are my routines. And so when I finally get to that place of like, okay, I'm not 100%, I'm still a little bit sad, but I have the energy to like get out of bed, I usually start with my feel good routines, which for me are, you know, journaling, going on walks, moving my body, keeping my space clean is a big one. Get back to the little things that make you feel productive, that make you feel good. It's okay if you're still a little bit sad. It's okay if you still cry from time to time. That is okay. This is a process. The next thing I would do is start adding joy back into my life. Like once you've actually given yourself time to process and go through your feelings, start adding things back into your life that fill up your time and your energy and distract you, even if it's for a moment. So for me, that's like quality time with my girlfriends, having a solo date, getting a massage, booking a weekend getaway, visiting family, trying a new restaurant, going on a hike, getting coffee, like just filling my days with things that I enjoy, having things to look forward to. Again, healthy distractions and focusing on rebuilding your life and getting back to yourself. If you're dealing with anything right now that you cannot control, a relationship ending, a friendship ending, losing your job, whatever, the best thing you can do with your time, your energy, and yourself is to focus all of your energy into yourself and your life. So rebuilding your life, adding joy back into your life, having things to look forward to, your habits, your routines, what you read, what you consume. Literally pour all your energy into you and getting your spark back and finding the things that make you happy. And again, I know this is very much easier said than done. And I'm not saying that if you do all these things that you're just going to magically be over your breakup, but it does help, even if it's a little bit. And eventually you will get to a place where that hurt and that pain that you're feeling isn't there anymore, or it's barely there. And it definitely takes time. It takes patience with yourself. It's a grieving process, really. The ending of anything is, it's not linear. And so you will eventually get to a point where whatever you're feeling or dealing with right now is going to feel like a distant memory. But one day you'll get there, sis. I have faith in you. So I have a few more questions. I'm not going to answer all of them in today's episode. Maybe I'll do like a part two. Somebody asked, dealing with overwhelm in life changes. So they're currently moving, starting their own business. They're just going through a lot of life changes. So this, I think, could apply to a lot of things. Like if you are dealing with a breakup, if you're moving, if you're starting a new job, starting a business, anything new. I think the best thing that's helped me through this transitional phase in my life is being okay with not having all of the answers right now. When you are in a transitional season in your life, it's important to accept that right now life is going to be a little bit all over the place. Life is going to be messy. Life is going to feel very chaotic. And being okay with that and adopting a go with the flow mindset, this was really important for me. again, as someone who's very like type A, I like having a plan, I like structure, I like routine, I like when things make sense. And the more that you accept that and are okay with that, the quicker you will ease a lot of your overwhelm. I find, at least for me, when I feel overwhelmed, it's usually a few things, but one of the things is usually that things are not going the way that I'm used to them going or the way that I want them going, and I'm overwhelmed because I can't control what's happening. So being accepting that right now life for you is probably all over the place, and that makes sense because you're literally moving, which, hello, moving is picking up your life in one place and moving it to a different place. That is a big change. Starting a business, oh my goodness, starting a business is definitely going to feel very overwhelming, especially in the beginning. When you're thinking about all the things that you have to do, it can feel like you're drowning before you even begin. So instead of trying to look at all the things that you have to do with moving, starting your business, focus on one step at a time. Focus on what you have to do today. Don't worry about what you have to do tomorrow, next week, next month. Focus on what you have to do right now. A lot of my overwhelm usually comes from thinking about everything, looking at the bigger picture, feeling like I'm drowning with everything that I have to get done. But when you break it down into daily steps, it becomes more manageable. During this time, if you can manage to have some sort of routine or structure, whether it's a morning routine, a workout routine, or something like that, that definitely would help a lot in terms of just your mental health and feeling overwhelmed and things like that. Make sure that your routine, whatever it is simple. Don't try to do a very complicated routine right now, especially when the rest of your life is very overwhelming and there's a lot going on. But yeah, I hope that helped. But anyways, you guys, these are all of the questions that I will be answering today. I do, like I said, have a few more. My voice is about to go out and I've been talking for so long. But anyways, you guys, I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, of course, I would so appreciate if you could rate, give the podcast a 5-star review, share this episode with anyone who you think may also enjoy today's conversation. As always, I will see you Sunday.